There's nothing quite as disappointing as getting a broken present. You receive a box with beautiful wrapping paper, maybe even a bow on top. You rip off the paper and you're overjoyed when inside the box is just the thing you've been waiting for. But then you're so disappointed when you can't get it to work. It's been a few years since this has happened in our family, but I remember once when our children were little, we bought them a toy phone. The idea was pretty good. They kept wanting to grab our expensive phones and suck and drool all over them. And so we thought, hey, if we buy them a toy phone, they'd play and suck on it instead. It was a really good idea. It didn't work. We gave it to them on Christmas, but unfortunately on Christmas Day, when the toy was unwrapped, we put some brand new batteries in, but no luck. There were no flashing night lights or annoying sounds. And so on Boxing Day, when others fought their ways to bargains, we joined the very long line of frustrated parents and disappointed children at the toy shop returns desk. Today, we've been singing songs about Jesus. We've just heard the account of the night Jesus was born. We've heard the words the angel said, and on earth, peace. And the question you might be asking is Jesus a gift that needs to be returned? Is Jesus a present that didn't work as promised? Because where's this peace on earth? The events in Bondi last week have shocked us all, raised again questions of ancient animosity, religions that claim peace but seem to inspire the opposite. And the horrific images we saw from Bondi Beach weren't the first. It was only last year, 2024, when there was another deadly mass attack in the shopping centre that's just up the hill from the beach. And that's just one suburb of one city in our relatively peaceful nation. Where's peace on earth? But it's not just in the things that make the news. We all have personal or family conflict. The person who you used to be close to, but the last conversation ended with a door shut in your face. Maybe you're anxious about Christmas lunch, or you're sad because of someone who refuses to be there. Where's the peace on earth? Is Jesus just another faulty Christmas gift? Well, let's go back to the Bible, to Luke's biography of Jesus, and have a listen to what is said. Many of us will be fairly familiar with the events surrounding Jesus' birth. In the first Bible reading, the one Marge brought to us, we heard the amazing announcement to Joseph, who, despite being distantly related distantly descended from Israel's great king David, is otherwise an ordinary bloke. The woman he's promised to marry is with child and is not his. But through an angelic dream, he receives astounding news. This child is from God, the one promised by prophets, the one who will be God with us. We then picked up the story about 9 months later when this God with us child has been born in Bethlehem in Judea. And this moment, which changes the world, goes basically unnoticed. The people Mary and Joseph are staying with don't even want to give them the dignity of a proper guest room. Instead, she gives birth among the animals. The king of the world, the promised descendant of David, God with us, is born in the most humiliating circumstances. Jesus spends his first night with the animals. Now, there are also some other people who are spending the night with animals, but they don't miss out on what's happened. The shepherds who were doing night shift outside of Jerusalem, they were like Joseph 9 months earlier. They're just minding their own business when suddenly an angel appears. And just like with Joseph, the angel tells them to not respond with fear. because this angel has got good news. Have a listen again to what the angel says. You can follow along. It's in the left-hand page of the notice sheet. Now, the Bible says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" This would have been terrifying. Bright lights beaming out in the middle of the night, and this was before electricity. And an angel. We often picture angels as cute little cherubs or like fairies. You might have something cute like that hanging on your Christmas tree at home. But that's not how the Bible describes angels. Angels are messengers and soldiers. Now, even with these shepherds, who I'm sure were pretty tough blokes, they're right to be afraid. But the message the angel brings tells the shepherds that they're not in danger. In fact, it's the opposite. The angel has come to announce that a Saviour, a rescuer, has been born for them. It says, "Today in Bethlehem, the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you." That's an interesting message. I wonder what the shepherds need to be saved from, what they need to be rescued from. Well, they don't get time to even think that thought or discuss it amongst themselves, because the next thing they know, hundreds of angels join the first one, a host of angels, an army of angels. And ironically, this army hasn't come from heaven to conquer, but to proclaim peace. In the second paragraph, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." What does this announcement mean? Well, in the first line, the angels praise God. God, the one who is in heaven ruling over all creation. They praise God because of this little boy who's been born. They praise God even though no one's taken much notice of what's happened in the manger. And in the second line, they say, peace is going to come on earth. They say this little baby is going to bring peace for the whole world. That is a big promise. It's a big promise to say this baby is going to bring peace to the world, but that's the gift the angels say has been given by God. But the problem we feel, and we understandably feel, is this gift seems faulty. It looks broken. The promise of the angels' song is peace on earth. It's something we sing in so many Christmas songs, like the one we sang before. Hark, listen up, the herald angels sing. What are they singing? Peace on earth and mercy mild. But you've got to be kidding. There's no peace on earth. Well, maybe we need to listen a little bit more carefully to what the angels say. Because after they promise peace on earth, they seem to put a limit on the promise. They don't say peace on earth, full stop. They say peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests. So maybe that's the reason. Maybe the problem isn't with the gift, but with the recipients. Maybe the reason there's no peace on earth is we're not good enough. Maybe we're getting the lump of coal in our stockings just as we deserve. Because what do we need to do to get into God's good books, into his favor? Maybe we've got to be at church every Sunday or give lots of money to charity. Maybe it's about keeping the golden rule, do unto others, or following the Ten Commandments, or at least the few that we can remember, if we can remember any at all. Maybe to get God's favor, the challenge we've got to master is getting through another Christmas lunch without that difficult relative and getting into a fight with that difficult relative. We hear the end of the angel's message, and many of us think the problem isn't with the gift, but the recipients. Maybe Jesus is more than ready to give peace on earth, but we haven't done what it takes to get God's favor. Because how would we know? Being in God's favor seems like a really long to-do list. God's to-do list that we can never tick off all of the items. And lots of us think that's how it works with God. We think God is a lot like the man in the big red suit. If you're good, you get the toys. If you're bad, you get coal. And this does not sound like good news, which is what the first angel said. It's in the third paragraph down. I bring you good news, which will cause great joy for all the people. But this massive to-do list does not sound like good news. Maybe it's good for some, but for the rest of us, it's not very good news at all. Now, we will get to why the angel really did have good news of great joy. We're going to get there. But before we do, we need to recognize actually how bad things really are. Because the good news of the angel is that the baby in the manger is our Savior, our only Savior. This is an astounding thing to say about a baby. If anyone needs saving, it's a baby. A baby can't feed or protect itself. A baby needs protection from others, from parents, from responsible adults to look after, to save the baby from itself. But the angel says that this baby was to be a savior. But a savior from what danger? If you go to the beach this summer and get caught in a rip, the savior you need is a lifeguard, someone who is strong enough to swim out and rescue you from the rip. What danger is this baby here to save us from? Well, we heard it in that first Bible reading, the one Marge read for us. The angel told Joseph to give Mary's child a significant name. His name was to be Jesus. And the reason for the name isn't because it sounds nice, because it rolls off the tongue. The name Jesus means savior or rescuer. And the angel said the child will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, what is sin? Sin isn't just being a little bit naughty. Sin isn't eating too much of your auntie's trifle for breakfast. Sin is rebelling against God. Sin is telling God we want nothing to do with him or his ways. Our relationship with God, it's like our parents put on the best Christmas ever. There are more gifts that you can unwrap in a day. You can't even see the tree because of the mountain of gifts. You feast on your favorite food and just play and laugh all day. But on Boxing Day, the kids have cleared off. In fact, they've cleared out the house, stolen everything during the night, and all they've left behind is a cruel note saying the next time we're going to speak, it's through our lawyers. There's no love. In fact, we're going to live as if we're enemies. That's what the Bible says things are like between people and God. We are enemies of God, who is our loving creator. That is what sin is. And because we have rejected God, his life and love, it shows itself in all of the broken and selfish relationships we have with each other. When horrific, evil events happen that show the lack of peace on earth, people make all sorts of suggestions about how to fix the problem. There are different versions, but the proposed solutions generally are about getting rid of them. Getting rid of those bad people. We either get rid of them physically, we send them to another country. I don't know how that really solves the problem, it just moves it, doesn't it? Or we silence their voices, either by using the power of censorship or shouting over the top of them. If we can just drown them out, then we can pretend that the bad people aren't there. But the failure of these solutions is that they comfortably help us to locate bad people out there. They are the problem. Everything would be right. Everything would be fixed if it wasn't for them. But the coming of Jesus, the announcement of the angel, cuts through this posturing. The coming of Jesus says the problem of peace is personal. Sin is a problem we all share, and that means me. And this means the peace we seek can't be found within us, within humanity. We need a solution from outside. And this is the good news the angel's saying to the shepherds about. Because in Jesus, enemies can have peace. Enemies can become friends. At the bottom of the outline, I've printed a sentence from another part of the Bible. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace the angels were talking about. Peace with God, the end of conflict with God. But we still haven't solved the problem. How can enemies be reconciled? If I'm the one who's faulty, how can sinners have peace with God? And the answer is it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus' life, birth, life, death, and resurrection. It's because Jesus is a Savior who's been born for us, a Savior who's come to rescue us from sin and reconcile us to God. Jesus was born to be a Savior. He lived the perfect, sinless life that we can never live. He is the only one who deserves the title the one on whom God's favor rests, because he deserves that title. And he lived that life for the rest of us, for us, and he died the death we deserve to die so that we can be reconciled and have peace with God. Now, today, this Christmas, that's the peace God is offering you and me and the whole world. This is the peace the angels promised. And Jesus isn't a faulty gift. Jesus came so that you and I can have God's best gift, peace with him. And Jesus is perfectly able to give us that peace. During these holidays, there's a gift our church would love to give to you, a gift that will help you discover God's gift of peace. The gift is a copy of Luke's biography of Jesus, Luke's gospel from the Bible. It's a pretty easy read. You could probably finish it in the boring bits in the cricket tomorrow. And that's even if you're a slow reader, because there's lots of boring bits. Because cricket's great. So there's a bunch of copies on the table over there. So please grab a copy. We'd love for you to know that true gift of peace with God in Jesus. And how about we pray? Father God, we join with the army of angels, praising and glorifying you for Jesus, that on that night in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, our Saviour was born. And we praise you because that baby, the Lord Jesus, is our only hope for peace with you. In a world where there continues to be conflict, help us to find and know peace with you, through the Messiah, the promised King of Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.